We're just about to do our final performance of the Complete History of Comedy Abridged in the year of our Lord's 2015. and as we head into the holiday season, I have just discovered that not only are we doing a funny and entertaining show, but apparently we are doing the Lord's work, talking about the Complete History of Comedy. And I know this because Lutheran pastor Robert Lewis has come to talk to me about something he calls Holy Humor Sunday. This is something you're making up. Am I right? You're just fooling me.
Actually, no. It actually goes back to the 15th century.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me all about it. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 467, Holy Humor Sunday. Before our final 2015 performance of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged began last Saturday night at the Gordon Center in Owings Mills, Maryland, just outside of Baltimore, I chatted with longtime podcast listener Robert Lewis, who's a pastor at the Messiah Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Virginia, and for the last several years has been using his service on the first Sunday after Easter to talk about Holy Humor Sunday, which is apparently a very real thing. Now, due to a recording glitch that turned out actually not to be a recording glitch, we recorded our conversation twice. So I apologize if there are a few repetitions in our conversation. Robert started by telling me how and when Holy Humor Sunday began.
Well, it actually goes back a while. It was originally called Bright Sunday. It was done one of the few Sundays after Easter, all the way back in the 15th century, mm-hmm. By the priest in Bavaria.
Okay.
Pope Clement X decided to put a stop to it.
Right.
And so I don't know if he put the stop to it because he thought humor was not supposed to be in church, or if the fact that Germans aren't funny.
Well, and maybe that's where their reputation began, was back in the 15th century. Was there something intrinsic into the story of the resurrection that we then spent the weeks after the resurrection going, this is great, we are saved, he is risen, we can tell jokes?
Right, well, the idea is it's a celebration of the great joke God played on death, which is the resurrection of Christ.
Oh, I see. Oh, interesting. Oh, that's very interesting. So farts are not the original joke. This is the original joke.
Well, okay, but speaking of fart, even Martin Luther liked fart jokes.
Did he?
Yes. So in one letter that he sent to the Roman papacy, he said, "What comes out of your mouth must be kept. I hear it. Which mouth do you mean? The one from which the farts come? You can keep them yourself."
Good old Martin Luther.
Yeah.
Now, this is not an idea that I hear much of, that there can be in a religious place of worship the idea of humor.
Right.
Why don't we see more humor in religion?
I really don't know why we don't. When we read the Bible, we tend to think the Bible has to be all serious stuff.
Yes.
To me, my favorite joke in the Bible is, in Matthew, Jesus calls Simon Peter, which means the rock.
Right.
Six verses later, he yells at Peter and says, "Don't be a stumbling block." So he's made a pun.
Right, right. Don't be the thing that I called you.
Right, exactly. And then there's, going back as far as Genesis, chapter 18, Sarah, one of the first two people God renames, was renamed She Laughs.
That's what Sarah means?
Yes.
And yet somehow it's serious and solemn without being joyful and humorous.
Correct. And I think that's, a big problem. I think that's one reason why the nones, those people who check none in their religion box, has grown so much in the last decade alone. It's because so much conservative Christianity wants to be serious about it and not be more joyful. I mean, the whole idea is to be joyful. Mm. Even in most traditions that use the liturgy, the liturgical traditions, a funeral is a celebration of the Easter risen Lord, and therefore it's a joyous moment.
Right, of course. There is that saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, yeah?
All right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, what you're talking about, the rise of conservative of fundamentalism sort of in all religions across the board. You know, 21 years ago, we premiered the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged at the Kennedy Center. The Kennedy Center booked it, said, yes, please come back and do this for us, sight unseen. They just knew the kind of work that we do, and they knew what it would be like.
Right.
Boy, that was a different time. Now there are people afraid to even be seen enjoying a funny show about the Bible.
Right,
and
yeah,
it's just
exactly like your great kerfuffles.
The great kerfuffles of Northern Ireland, indeed.
Ireland. Yes, and I personally don't understand it.
So what, getting back to your earlier story, why do you think Pope Clement wanted to get rid of Holy Humor Sunday?
Well, we are talking about the Dark Ages.
True. Yeah.
And the church was, in that place.
Right.
And I think a lot of what we still do today, especially in the liturgical traditions, it stems from that stuff that came out of the 15th, 16th century.
Right. Well, as a secular humanist, my bias is that, religion, particularly back in the Dark Ages, and maybe even a little bit today, is a way of keeping people down, keeping people organized and powerless, with the dream of something better if you work very hard right now. And God forbid, you're enjoying yourself now. Does that factor into?
I think that factors into it. I think too many people think of joyful things as being sinful things.
Yeah, right.
One of the wonderful things I like about the Lutheran tradition is, a little known fact is that Martin Luther married a Biermeister.
Why hasn't Andrew Lloyd Webber written a great musical about Martin Luther? He sounds like a hell of a guy.
Exactly. When you read, his stuff, especially the things like there's a series of books called Martin Luther's Table,
okay,
or something about like that, and it's basically notes from his students.
Okay,
and it's things like, so. For example, in front of his class, he read this letter. I forget who the letter was from. Mm-hmm. But for baptism, should the water be warm or cold? And his response is, water is water, you blockhead, using the German Dunkopf.
Needs to be wet.
Right, yes. So he was very practical. And the things that we forget about, too, is like a lot of the hymns that he wrote, he borrowed tavern songs for the music.
Right.
And so when people talk about we shouldn't be using contemporary music, it's like, but that's what that was when he wrote it.
Right.
So
you're one of the people who you actually honor Holy Humor Sunday.
Yes.
Every year on the Sunday after Easter.
On the Sunday after Easter. Yes.
Are there lots of you? Can one go to hear a sermon about Holy Humor Sunday across the country?
It seems like just in the last 5 or 6 years, it has grown. Matter of fact, I didn't even hear about it myself until 3 years ago when I did it for the first time.
Okay.
And the first Sunday, all we did was just, told everybody to bring their favorite joke. And so we told favorite jokes instead of a sermon.
Great.
The second year, I got enough gold kazoos for everybody. And we did a verse of Amazing Grace and a verse of Mighty Fortress with the kazoos.
Oh, that's pretty special. Do you have a recording of that?
No, I don't. I wish I did. And then last year, I passed out clown noses and we all wore our clown noses during the entire service.
Was that in the spirit of Rambozo?
That was in the spirit of Rambozo. But I had actually purchased them first.
But that's still...
We are of the same mind.
Yes.
For sure.
Right. And, and one of the points I made was, put your nose on and look at your neighbor and go and say, ha, 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 and I dare you not to laugh.
And it worked.
And it worked. And so we just, you know, had a wonderful time.
This is Steve Smith, former director of Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Clown College, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC? The RSC, our winter of 2015-2016 tour, continues this week with performances of The Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged, The Complete History of Comedy Abridged, and The Complete History of America Abridged in Missouri, Kansas, California, Ohio, Michigan, and Georgia. And then, next April and May of 2016, we'll perform the official Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Pastor Robert Lewis, who was telling me about different but similar forms of communion.
As you say sometimes, you know, that you think of the theater as your church, mm-hmm. and I don't actually see a big problem with that. Yeah. You know, you're in community, you're in conversation with others.
Yeah.
It's much like an old itinerant, you know, preacher who went from one place to another to spread the word.
Right.
And actually, you know, I don't know what would have been harder, traveling from church to church to church, or if having to come up with a new sermon every Sunday is harder.
Right.
Because
right.
he could just get away with the same sermon as he goes around to his different churches.
Well, and it's funny that you talk about the communion because, you know, we're sitting here talking about Holy Humor Sunday, which seems to be a Christian tradition, and we're sitting here in the lobby of the Gordon Center, which is the Jewish Community Center in Owings Mills, Maryland. And that's the beautiful thing about theater as a temple, as a church. You get members of all tribes coming in to commune in one venue.
Right. Actually, I did not know it was part of a Jewish community center, and when I drove up today, I just started laughing, knowing that you and I were going to talk about Holy Humor Sunday. I went, you know, this is God's joke.
Why do you think Holy Humor Sunday isn't a bigger deal? As we were saying, we're here in a Jewish community center. The Jews don't need to be taught about how to laugh. They know how to laugh. Why do some Christians have such problems laughing?
I think, especially in this day and age, so many people who confess that they're Christian come from the more fundamental ideas and ideologies and theologies, and they seem to think that laughing in church is going to demean church.
Right.
And that it's, for some reason, it's not holy to laugh and have fun in church.
Yeah, interesting.
We had this one when Katrina hit New Orleans. We got an angry letter from somebody saying, well, I've checked the path of the Katrina, and it passed over a theater that was doing the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged. And we, you know, didn't respond to the letter because, all right, he got it off his chest, great. But what we would have said is, well, check that path again. It passed over a lot more churches than it passed over theaters. So what do you think is the bigger issue there, sir?
Right.
You know? So Pope Clement forbade Holy Humor Sunday in the 15th century. Has it come back since, or really just in the last decade or so?
It's really, I have heard it more in the last decade. Mm-hmm. The first time I did it, when I was trying to find resources, I didn't find anything older than 10, maybe 12 years old.
Okay.
About resources.
Okay.
We're staging a comeback. Holy Humor Sunday is staging a big comeback.
I really hope so. As a matter of fact, I heard about it from one of my other Lutheran colleagues. And actually, she was talking about how at her Holy Humor Sunday service, one of her friends, who's also a member of the congregation, came up with their New Orleans shot glass to be used for the communion instead of the regular plastic communion cups.
Uh-huh.
And I went, wait a minute, there's a Holy Humor Sunday?
Go back a second.
Yeah.
Is there text in the Bible that speaks to humor or speaks to the power of laughter or speaks to Holy Humor Sunday?
Oh, sure. I mean, all the way back to, you know, Genesis. Mm-hmm. You know, the one of the first two people that God changed their name was Sarah, meaning she laughs. Okay. God was celebrating the laughter of Sarah.
Oh, great.
And then what's even funnier is Paul in Hebrews, when he's talking about that episode, he mentions about Abraham being so old he should be dead. In our service, we did several things. My sermon was geared towards humor. So we decided to incorporate something into the actual liturgy of our service. Mm-hmm. And the way we do our service at Messiah Lutheran is we start every service with a brief order of confession and forgiveness, or a brief order of belief. Mm-hmm. And so instead of doing the doxology or something like that normally, we came up with, I helped with a couple people that we came up with a new celebration of our faith. Mm-hmm. We believe that with the Bible that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. We believe with Aquinas that there is a time for playful deeds and jokes. We believe with Luther that you have as much laughter as you have faith. We believe with Kierkegaard that humor is intrinsic to Christianity. We believe with Bonhoeffer that ultimate seriousness is not without a dose of humor. And we believe with Charles Schultz that humor is proof that everything is going to be all right with God nevertheless.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast. I hope I didn't unintentionally slight some Christians out there. I certainly didn't mean to. But if I did, send me your funny forms of worship via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter, and I hope you'll post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, No Commenting Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Martin Dimmick. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Steve Smith, the former director of the Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus Clown College. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 467 1401sts of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I've been ordained since 99, and this is my first solo gig.
Okay.
So before that, matter of fact, this is my first non-youth-oriented gig.
Okay. So nice. And God willing, you won't have a Pope Clement shutting down your sermons about Holy Humor Sunday.
I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I'm very hopeful that Pope Francis might encourage it among his flock as well. He's had a couple of good zingers himself lately.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.